Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 4th of February, recording at 7:22 p.m. and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets were mostly quite firm. Now, we had both China and Japan higher in here today. They've been doing that pretty much on a regular basis since mid-November for Japan and beginning of December. But additionally in Asia, we had some real additional strength for some of the ASEAN stock markets, notably the Philippines and also Thailand, although it must be said that both are looking overextended as so many stock markets are in the short to medium term. Now, in total contrast, the European stock markets have seen a bit of a beating today, or in technical terms, let's say they've seen some sharp downward dynamics. And we have declines. Well, if I take the Euro Stoxx 50 index, that's down 3.13%. The French CAC is down 3%, DAX 2.5%. Spain is down 3.77%. Italy even more so, down 4.5%. And you might ask what's going on. If you've been watching any of the financial news, you will be aware of a couple of items. And I think these are I was thinking of them initially in the category of straws that break the camel's back, if you're familiar with that expression. But anyway, Spanish Premier Mariano Rajoy, I'm not sure I pronounced that correctly, but forgive me if I haven't. He has been accused of some corruption charges here, and so that's unsettled the markets. And then Italy's Silvio Berlusconi has narrowed the political frontrunner's lead as the elections for next month loom, and that's led to pretty sharp overall downward reactions. Now, you'll know from all my audios of the last couple of weeks or so that I've been saying that we were getting quite overbought, go with the momentum. We still hadn't seen any downward dynamics when I was talking about them, but we were getting very overextended, and obviously that was going to spill over into at least a reaction and consolidation phase lasting some weeks, and that the signal that process had begun would be clear overall downward dynamics by the indices, which were just climbing steadily and in quite an orderly fashion overall. Well, we've certainly got a big dollop of downward dynamics here in these European stock markets today. And when I mentioned the two strongest ASEAN stock markets, inciting the Philippines and also Thailand, some of the others have not been doing quite so well, notably Malaysia, which has seen some downward dynamics in recent weeks. Now, just to get back to the review generally, Wall Street's taking a bit of a hit here today. And as I speak, the Dow's currently down nearly 129 points, and the S&P is back below 1,500. That's down 14.5 here at 1,498 and a half. And we've got a sharpish decline on the NASDAQ as well. And that's with the help of a weaker day's trading in Apple as here today. And the other American markets seem to be, or America's markets seem to be, mostly lower here. And I noticed that as I speak that Brazil is down 1.3% on the day. So we're getting some hits in here. And I think one really should assume that we are spilling over here in February, as fortunately we've been forecasting was likely to be the case. Now the big question is, how much of a setback are we going to see? Is this just a healthy reaction, pause, and buying opportunity, or is it something more serious? Well, being a bit of an optimist at heart, but trying to be a realist most of all, and looking at some of the changes in perceptions regarding markets, for instance, take the European situation, which of course everybody was saying was a devastating crisis a few months ago. And things are looking very much better. Obviously, there are many problems ahead for Europe, not least where how they're going to generate the growth, although Mario Draghi, head of the ECB, says that there will be some growth evident during the second half of this year, and I very much hope he's right. But the point is that after big gains to the upside, which we've certainly seen, and also big moves downwards by the European bond yields, we are susceptible to some change and volatility there. And I think that process has commenced and that it's going to go on for a few weeks. Now, as I say, I would be hopeful that we would just see a so-called healthy reaction and correction, in which case it would be a reaction and consolidation, rather, in which case that would prevent an additional buying opportunity. But we know that in recent years we've seen some pretty sharpish downward moves overall, and I've cited on a number of occasions high-frequency trading as being a contributor to that type of activity, and high-frequency trading has not gone away. So we will see. But just on the basis of other technical and behavioral criteria, I would say that we don't need to be terrified about this downside here overall, although it may be sharpish at some point over the next few weeks. And I'm certainly not looking for a huge sustained move to the downside, which many people were forecasting only a few months ago, because I don't think that the circumstances really point to that at all. The question I've been asking myself and occasionally airing in these audios is, were we in the very early stages of perhaps beginning to move out of this overall valuation contraction cycle that I have forecast for many years since 2000, and also that I referred to on many occasions here over the subsequent years. And my own guess on that point is that it's a little bit early, but we could see some breaks to new all-time highs, as we've seen with some of the emerging markets, particularly in the ASEAN sector. But we've also seen Mexico perform very, very strongly, and a few other markets as well. So we are certainly in the latter overall stages of that valuation contraction cycle, and we know that the Monetary conditions remain really very favorable. I have often mentioned my reservations about what happens when the central banks, and particularly the Fed, tries to rein in on the quantitative easing, the QE. That hasn't started yet. So that's not an immediate problem here. And we it may not be a problem for this year. We'll just have to see. It will depend on how much the US economy continues to recover. And I think it will continue to recover. And one of the indices that I don't mention all that often is the Dow Jones Transportation Index. And that has blasted up out of its overall range. Well, that's a little bit of an exaggeration. It was very strong last month, and it's pushed to new all-time highs. So if the S&P were to see something equivalent than that, it would move up another couple of hundred points. Which I don't think it's going to do in the short term, but the transport average has broken upwards, and so that augurs well. I think generally, and not least in terms of my earlier comments this evening, but what I would regarding really being in the latter cycle of or latter phase of the overall valuation contraction cycle, I think that the transport average over the years is often regarded as a reasonably decent lead indicator for the U.S. economy. And there's the logic in that is obvious. If trucking firms and railroads are clearly doing better, that means economic activity is picking up. So there are a lot of favorable factors here overall to consider. Now, if we are spilling over, generally though, in stock markets into at least a reaction and consolidation phase, which lasts for a few weeks, and that's my view, then I would expect somewhat firmer bond futures prices. In other words, yields would push a little bit lower in here as prices came over. But I don't expect yields to go down to new lows. I don't think we have the economic conditions for that, although we still have the QE, obviously. I would expect a little bit of a short covering rally, perhaps, in some of these longer dated futures traded government bonds. Now, in terms of currencies, when you get a weak move, as we've seen in Europe, and also with Wall Street being down, well, it's down exactly 1 percentage point here on the S&P as I speak, and a little bit more, 1.25, on the Nasdaq overall. That usually revives temporarily the U.S. dollar's safe haven status, and we are seeing that here today. It's up nearly half a point on the dollar index. It's still below 80, by the way, because the U.S. dollar has been relatively soft, but it's currently trading at 79.55. With Europe weakening, we have seen the euro, which had been on quite a run, it's pulled back here today after a high up at 136.60 against the US dollar. It's currently trading at 135.16. And sterling, though, is a little bit firmer, but still only at 157.70. And the Aussies also doing a little better in here, 104.35. But we have seen, as I say, that steadying in the US dollar generally, particularly against the euro, in line with this this downward reaction overall in stock markets. Now, in the commodity sector, we're seeing a bit of selling pressure in crude oil, and that's caused the WTI to pull back to 96.20. That's down over a dollar and a half, and that's good because that's backing off the higher side of its range. And if I look also at the Brent crude, and that, forgive the delay here, but that's also down. It's not down as much, but it's down $1.14 as I speak. And so it also is backing away from the higher side of its range. I mentioned that last week that we wanted to see, or I wanted to see, the crude oil prices backing off because they had been edging steadily higher during January. So we've got a little bit of respite in there today. I noticed that most of the industrial metal futures are firmer in here again today, although copper's backed off a little bit. U.S. copper is down $1.45 at 377 overall. And on other developments, and last but not least, if I talk about precious metals, palladium, very steady. That's up at $758, so it's holding its break up out of that very lengthy trading range that we've seen for all four of these futures traded commodity markets. Silver is down a little bit here today, but well above its lows. And platinum is back touching the $1,700 level, although it's eased back here this evening from its highs. It did get up to 1709 at one stage, which is very much at the higher side of its range overall. And I've been saying for a number of weeks now that it looked like platinum would be the next precious metal. It's a pretty obvious point, actually, to follow palladium to the upside, whereas the big laggards are silver and gold. But gold, nonetheless, we saw gold down this morning at 1662, and then as the stock market selling gathered pace in Europe, gold started to pick up, and it's currently at 1674 and a quarter. Now that's $25 away from a significant technical improvement, but that's proved to be a very challenging $25 move to the upside over recent weeks because it hasn't been able to do it. So in terms of important technical levels for gold, which is ranging in a fairly narrow range here right now, I would say that the lead from palladium and platinum is a positive indicator. And we need to see first that break above 1700, and then the more important resistance level is a break above 1800. Now, I certainly don't expect that to happen overnight, but I think that there's a reasonable chance that it should do that before the end of June. And if it hasn't done that before the end of June, as I've mentioned in my copy and also my audio from last Friday, that would then clearly indicate that gold had lost its consistency characteristics, which we have seen for about 12 years. And I think those are the major developments here today. So all the best to all of you.